Blog Talk Radio.
How many people are encouraged tonight?
And that song is something that we could hold on to. Because many times in our lives, you know, no matter how good we do and treat some people, it seems like it's never enough. But the Bible tells us never get weary in doing good. But sometimes you have to just step back because you don't get encouragement all the time from people. You know, you're not always patted on the back and say a job well done on your job with your children or whatever. But the record is letting us know that, you know, sometimes just encourage yourself and then you just keep it moving. Because we have to just, if we're doing the things that's right and we know we're doing it the way God would have us to do it, you keep on doing it. Don't give up. And if you feel you need encouragement and you can't get it from anywhere else, the song says, encourage yourself. And that's a good song. And I'm use that because I think it go along with life. Just life. Many areas of our lives, we feel undeserved. Many times we feel appreciated. But we got to just keep going. And like I said, the scripture said, never get weary in doing good. You keep doing what you know God wants you to do, regardless to what anybody else do or say. You keep doing what God has given you to do. And I'm going to say the title of our lesson again, and I'm going to tell you a little something funny that I heard today that I think go along with the lesson. The title of the lesson is Sweep Around Your Own Front Door Before You Try to Sweep Around Mine. A lady told me a story tonight, and she said that they had a lady, and they lived, wherever they lived, they had backyards, and in their backyards, they had lines that they hung clothes up. And anybody know anything about a person that really loved to hang up clothes? If you're going to hang white clothes, you want them to be white as snow. And you put them up there and you put them in an order, not just any kind of way. Well, this lady had washed her white clothes, and she took a lot of energy to make sure they was white and clean and crisp. And she hung them on the line. Well, a lady living down a house down from her called up and told her, you put them clothes on that line and you know they got all them spots in them. They say, you need to be ashamed of that. And the lady, you know, thought about it. She knew she had cleaned them and they was looking good, but she just had to go and check. So she went back in the backyard and she looked at her sheets that was on the line. And her sheets was there and white as snow. They was all in a line in order. She felt good about what she had done. Now the lady called her back again. And the lady who hung the sheet on the line didn't know what she saw. But the lady called her back again. And she said, I don't know what you're talking about because I know my sheets are white. I even hung them up in prestige order. She said, so I'm going to come over there and I'm going to look out the window that you is looking out so I can know what you see. So the lady got up and went to the lady's house and she looked out the window. And lo and behold, the window was dirty and had all kind of marks and dirt all on the window. So when the lady who had the good white sheets looked out of the window, all the sheets looked smeared, and they had spots in them, and they had polka dot black spots, all kind of things. So the lady turned around and looked at the lady And she said, ma'am, if you take time and clean your window before you try to talk about my sheep, she said, everything will be all right. And I thought that was appropriate from the lesson tonight, because to sweep around your own front door before you try to sweep around mine. All of us fall short of the glory of God, and that's something we could straighten in our lives. But it's so easy for us to point out the ills of someone else. That's the easiest thing in the world. So at this point, we have to go to the throne of grace, and I'm asking if anyone would like to pray tonight. God is extending the opportunity for anyone who would like to pray on tonight to bring us to the throne of grace so we could find mercy. You could press the one button on your phone. Well, none of the buttons are pressed, so I'll lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, the giver of every perfect gift, the God of our Lord, our Savior, and our Master, the God of the Holy Spirit, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of everything he created, the God of everyone that has accepted his Son. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this time and this opportunity that we could come together to fellowship in your word. Holy Spirit, I tell you that we come in with a spirit of expectancy. And I pray that your word don't return void. And I pray the message that God had given for this word, that we take hold of it, dear God, and not just hear it, but become doers of the word. That it accomplish what it has set out to accomplish in our lives. Lord, I'm going to be careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, which is only my reasonable service. And God, I decrease, and sweet Holy Ghost, you increase. And have your way with this Bible study on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. Well, we have more callers that's come on the line, and I'm going to say the title again and the background scripture. And I pray that each and every one of you have your Bible. The title of the lesson is Sweep Around Your Own Front Door Before You Try to Sweep Around Mine. The scripture is found in the book of John, the 8th chapter, the 1st through the 11th verse. Always, I give a little background either on the event that's happening, the author of the book, the time frame in which it was written, or something that can help you in your Christian walk. So I want you to know that this scripture is coming out of the Gospel of John. John had been been received down through the ages as being the truth of God, divine revelation of Jesus Christ as the Son of God and the Lord of Lords. You see, there's four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is called the Synoptic Gospel because they give information about what Jesus did. That's why you'll see so many miracles and healings and feeding 5,000 with the fish and all of these things. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John talks about what Jesus did. Oh, but when you get to the book of John, he tells us who Jesus is. You ain't going to find parables in that. It's not going to make emphasis on what Jesus did, but it's going to make great emphasis on who he is. You see, the author is John. The apostles, one of Jesus' 12 disciples, also known as the son of Zebedee and the brother of James. They were also called the sons of thunder. You know, John is the one that also wrote 1st and 2nd John. John also wrote 1st and 2nd book of John and was used by Jesus to pen the book of Revelation. And the reason I say pen the book of Revelation, because Revelation is a book about Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is giving the information. And Jesus Christ, the information is about. See, Jesus decided to use John, and he told John, if you read Revelation, he said, what I tell you, I want you to write down. Come on, y'all. So that's why I say John penned the book of Revelation, because I like to say Revelation is an autobiography of Jesus Christ by Jesus Christ. And I say that he wrote 1st and 2nd John, but he also wrote 3rd John. And he was used by Jesus to pen the book of Revelation. Hallelujah. You see, the Gospel of John differ from the other ones, and I spoke of that already. And we have to keep in mind, the book of John allows us to see how Jesus deals with individuals, how he preaches to crowds, train his disciples, debate with religious leader, and offer the gift of eternal life to all who believe and receive him. You see, most of the time, Jesus' miracles showed his power. But the book of John uses the things that Jesus did to show who he truly was, and were signs used for teaching. I can give you an example. The woman at the well was an example that Jesus is the living water, and who drink of the water should not thirst anymore. He met at the well. He asked her to give her water, but there was a deep message in that. And he told her, if you drink the water that I offer, you will not thirst anymore. Jesus was taking time for us to realize that he was teaching that he is the living water. Hallelujah. And those who drink of the water that he has would thirst no more. You see, even when he did the feeding of the 5,000, he was using that to let you know that he's the bread of life. So everything that Jesus, John, brought out in the book of John was telling us the truth about Jesus Christ and who he was. You see, in our lesson tonight is about an adulterous woman. And when we go in the lesson tonight, we're going to see, remember we in John, remember the things I just said about John. John has a message in everything that he wrote, and it points directly to Jesus' truth identity. It points to evidence that Jesus is who he say he is, the Son of God. It points to all of these things. Remember, when you open the book of John, the Gospel of John, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. And that's how we can say that Jesus is the Word. See, John gives you the evidence. That's how we can say with authority that Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Ghost are one. And the Word was with God, and the Word was also God. Believe it, my sisters and brothers. So we're going to go ahead into the scriptures at this time. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 5. I pray that you have your Bible. You see, Jesus went into the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came unto the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught. You see, even though Jesus had a lot of opposition, people really recognized that he was different. The way he spoke and how he used authority and knowledge and wisdom and truth about what he said. So you see, the people came and they sat down. And he taught them. Now look at number 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him woman. Now he's there teaching the people. No matter what you're doing in life, somebody's always waiting around the corner to mess it up. This dad teaching the people, the Pharisees and the scribes come, and they brought a woman taken in adultery when they had set her in the midst. They come bring him a lady. Now, they ain't all the way fully believe Jesus is who he is. But yet, they're going to bring him a woman that committed adultery. Really, it was not even Jesus' job to handle. But you see, when people do what they want, when they want, how they want. But they're not sovereign like God. Take on the idea that they are, but that's just legends in their own mind. But anyway, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you know, they came to Jesus and brought a woman that was caught in adultery. Now, you know the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the scribes was the religious leaders that was always trying to contradict Jesus Christ. And they were leaders in that time, and they was the people that were supposed to be learned in the word of God. You see, and they believed that Jesus was getting more attention than them. And jealousy is real, y'all. So they was trying to find ways to discredit him in front of the people. So they came with one trick after another. And this is what they're doing in the story tonight. Unto him, Master, like they could psych him out. They're trying to criticize him, and in the end they're going to try to crucify him, and yet they're going to call him Master like they're going to buck him up to you know, do whatever they wanted or listen to it or be a part of. So they come to Jesus and they say, Master, this woman has taken in authority in the very act. We call her dead in the act, the woman. Now look what they say in 5. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? In the law written by Moses, if a person was caught in authority, the people had a right to stone him to death. So they saying, you know, Moses says that that's all right to do. He said, now what you say? We'll see if he's going to say something different, because they, remember, they trying to discredit him. You see, we see that Jesus had got up early from a long day of teaching and preaching, but he's back in the temple early in the morning. See, we could do something and it takes all day to do.
Clap your hands, everybody. Come on.
Excuse you guys. You know, we don't show up the next day. But Jesus had got up early in the morning after a long night, weary and doing good. You see, all the people were coming, and he was continuing to teach. Jesus was serious about the assignment that God had given him. And that's the same way we should be. And he knew his time was short-lived. Because you guys remember that Jesus got baptized at the age of 30, and his ministry started, and by 33, he was dead. He was crucified. So at this time, Jesus knew his time was. You see, here the scribes and the Pharisees had brought this adulterous woman, but obviously not to justify the law. They wouldn't consider worrying about what's in the law. Everybody knew that Moses' law said, if you're caught in adultery, you'll be stoned. How can Jesus, what would he have to do with that? You know, that's one of the things that get under my skin. When a person asks you a question, they already know the answer. So they wasn't trying to do it because they were so happy about the law. You see, if so, they would have brought the man with them. Come on, y'all. They say anyone caught in adultery, doing adultery by herself. So if they wanted to be so righteous, come on, y'all. If they wanted to do things so right, why did they only bring the man? why they didn't bring the man. Because he had broken the law just as she had. You see, the law required that both be stoned to death. See, they came with him like Satan came to him in the wilderness with this half scripture and half truth. That's why you got to study to show yourself approved. A workman need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth, because people will take a word and leave out the part that they want to leave out because they might be trying to get you some kind of way, found in Leviticus 20 and 10. So the law stated you bring a man and a woman, the two people. Of course, they only brought the woman. Jesus knew something was fishy right there. You see, they were simply using the woman as a trap, hoping to trick Jesus. And anyway, the Romans didn't permit the Jews to carry out acts of execution. So even if they wanted to do it, they couldn't do it. So if he had ordered her stoned, they would have reported him to the Romans. And if he had said she should not be stoned, they would accuse him of breaking the law of Moses. So here we see, no matter what he say, he'll be damned if he do, and he'll be damned if he don't. You know how many situations you have like that? When people come up to you and they say they want the truth, and you know they can't take the truth. So you trying to tap dance around how you say walking on eggs. And then after the end of the day, and you done walked around the eggs and took and told a little lie and a twist the truth to no end, and you still talked about like a dog. You see, if people is looking for a reason to accuse you of wrongdoing, no matter what you do, it'll never be enough. Because they'll keep adding to it. Just like Moses wrote the laws, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the scribes and the Republicans got with Moses and kept adding and adding and adding and adding to the laws. And it wasn't like they was adding it because they could accomplish. But they was trying to put a yoke around the people's neck. That's why the title is sweep around your own back door before you try to sweep around mine. I don't know how many laws. We know that God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. And we see Moses start giving the books and giving laws in the book of Leviticus. But by the time the people, the Pharisees and them got through with it, they had 613 laws. People always add to it. Y'all know that. They say if you take a room of 10 people and you whisper something in one of them ear, and he's supposed to say the same to the next and then to the next and then to the next, and by the time they come back, it wasn't nothing you said. So here we see the situation that's happening and unfolding before our eyes on tonight. In verse 6, this they said, tempting him, which means testing. You see, tempting is a part of testing. They might have been that they might have to accuse him. They were just trying him. But look what Jesus did. Jesus stooped down, hallelujah, and with his finger he wrote in the ground as though, now this is a scripture, y'all, it's not me saying this part. Verse 6, and this they said, tempting him, which is meant testing, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he had heard them not. He started ignoring them. Verse 7. So when they continue asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, stone at a first. Now Jesus said, if y'all know all these righteous. And y'all are sinless. He said, throw the stone. Because I guess he was telling him, I know something in your life requires some kind of punishment according to the law. He said, but those without sin, on first. You see, we aren't told what, if anything, Jesus wrote in the dust with his finger. Some see a connection to when God wrote the Ten Commandments. But there is no scripture to, you know, prove it. There is no reason to debate. I'm telling y'all out here, because I know a lot of people like to debate all kinds of things. There's no reason to debate what Jesus may have written or to think it was clearly left out of the scripture. We are taught to only deal with what is written. Everything is not for us to understand. This is a tremendous statement about being judgmental towards not only the adulterate woman, but all sinners. Now, you see, Jesus is doing this scripture here. They placed it in the Bible, and you got to get the message. See, it's good to read the scriptures, and it's good to study the scripture, and it's good to see what's written. But you got to understand, but to be effective is what is God trying to tell you. You see, this is a tremendous statement about being judgmental towards not only the adulterated woman, but he's telling us about all sinners. Jesus said that only the sinless were worthy to cast the first stone. While we as Christians cannot condone sin, we are not to be quick to pass judgment. That's God's role, not ours. Now, let me tell you something, because people say, you can't judge me and I can't judge you. Let me tell you, sin is sin. Now, if I know a man, I ain't talking about somebody next door told me, I'm going to tell you, I'm talking about what I know. If I know a man has a wife, let's say the man have a wife. And he goes and he's dating another woman, which would be considered adultery. And if I know that for a fact, I can judge the sin because it is adultery. The sin don't change whoever doing it or how they doing it, because many times I've been told by men, and I'm not trying to get on men, so I'll switch it around by women, that they know how to do adultery good because the person they're doing adultery with would never come and knock on their door. They make sure their adulterous person respect their wife, respect their house, their husband or whatever. I come to tell you tonight, there's no right way to do wrong, like they say, you know, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. Wrong is wrong, and right is what? Right is right. Just because you do it in the way you do it, don't make it right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, it's right. So you can judge the sin, but the Bible tells us we have to love the sinner. And let me tell you why judge God say he's the righteous judge. You know, when we look at people and we judge them, you see, God is the righteous judge. Because you see, if they go before the judgment seat of God, God, first of all, can see their heart. He knows their attitude. He knows their intention. He even knows why See, we see a little bit. We might see the man sitting at the restaurant table with a lady eating. And you don't know nothing else, but he, you know, spread the whole rumor that the man is having an affair with the lady. The lady turned out to be his niece that just came to town. Sweep around your own back door before you try to sweep around mine. You see, we ought to show forgiveness and compassion. This is not easy. I ain't come to tell you tonight is easy. But it is an example of how the church is supposed to operate. And I'm not talking about the church building. I'm talking about we as the church, the body of Christ, should operate. In verse 8, and again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted in their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest, even to the last. Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. Now, the scripture said the oldest one, they left first. So you think by them being old, they had more sense than the young one? They had most sins that they could remember when they did them. I mean, I don't know, but the scripture says they left, and that's the order they left. That the older ones left first to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing. Now, you see, that's important. That's how you read the word of God. They said a woman standing in the midst. That tells you a lot about the woman. Just that little part. That she had a repentant heart. Just that right there. You know when somebody's caught doing something in some kind of way, they get to get away with it and they just break out and run. But the scripture said a woman was standing right there. She didn't leave. She saw what Jesus had did and how he did it and what he said. And she wanted more. Hey! Hallelujah. They said she was standing in the midst. So with only the adulterous woman standing before him, Jesus once again seemed to write something on the ground. And again, we are not told what it may have been. Jesus had said that only the ones without sin could cast the first stone at the adulterous woman. So that's letting us know all of them, and not just them, but all of us fall short of the glory of God. Jesus said that only the ones without sin could cast the first stone at the adulterous woman. So beginning with the older ones, they all went away one by one. Don't you think they all knew they were in the wrong to start with and fell under conviction by the word and presence of Jesus? Just the act of asking Jesus that question, it was out of order. And no matter what Jesus told him, Jesus, when he walked the earth, he followed the law. And they didn't have, you know, the authority to do certain things. That's why when they wanted to crucify Jesus, the priest, they knew they couldn't order a crucifixion, so they had to bring him to the Romans. And in this particular thing, what they was asking to be done, they know that Jesus couldn't do it. But people don't care. They want to set you up for failure. Do you think the older men was wise in scripture or perhaps more aware of their sins than the younger ones? You could take your pick. Or it could be both. Then we get to verse 10 and 11. When Jesus had lifted himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee? 11. She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. She might have didn't know nothing about Jesus too much. They so showed her she was in a sinful state. But after that, she called him Lord. She recognized him. That's amazing how some people come to Christ and they understand who Christ is. And people who've been walking with Christ 100 years still don't know who he is. Who he truly is. And she called him Lord. You see, this is an example how Jesus forgive all sins. Remember, Jesus is forgiving all sins. He did not condemn the adulterous woman to death, nor did he say that since he had come, her adulterous deeds were no longer a sin. See, Jesus told her, you know, he didn't condemn her. But he didn't act like she didn't commit a sin. Because he told her, go and sin no more. He dealt with the truth. Yeah, you're sinning. Yeah, you done sin. But go and don't sin anymore. He did not condemn the adulterous woman to death. Nor did he say that since he had come, her adulterous deeds were no longer a sin. On the contrary, he openly revealed her son when he told her, go and sin no more. You see, Jesus realized that based upon the law of God, this woman had committed a sin that required death. Come on, y'all. Y'all see the picture Jesus painted here? Do y'all see the picture that's being painted here? That they was required to death, to a death sentence. Jesus, being God, had the authority to forgive this woman's sins, which he did. Still, the death sentence for this woman was a commandment of God that had to be carried out. You see where it's going, y'all? But not even Jesus could break the commandment. So a short time later, Jesus died in her place on the cross, totally fulfilling the requirements of the law on her behalf. You see, we seem to forget about the things we have done or is doing in our life and was happy when God's mercy carried us through. Would you want to just take God's mercy and box it all up just for you? You want to be forgiven, but nobody else should be forgiven. I ain't going to speak to them not another day in my life. You see, mercy and grace couldn't be only something you want to receive, but should be something you should be willing to give. The Bible says freely was it given to you, and freely you should give it. You see, God's mercy is holding back the punishment we deserve is God's blessing towards us that we don't deserve. Hallelujah, y'all. You see, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Mercy held back the punishment she deserved and grace gave her the gift of life she could never deserve, because both are gifts from God, should any man boast. Hallelujah. You see, the adulterous woman's sin was forgiven by Almighty God, never to be remembered again. Complete forgiveness and eternal life with him. What a wonderful plan by a wonderful Savior. You know, the book of Romans the 8th chapter and the 1st verse, says that therefore there is now no condemnation for those who love the Lord. No condemnation. And I can't say that without letting you know Jesus died and took away all the sins of the world, your past sins, the sins you committed today, and the sins you're going to commit going forward. And that's just the truth, y'all. And I'm like not giving you a license to sin, because we try to grow in grace and knowledge of God daily. We want to be better as we press towards the mark of our high calling. But as long as we have on this flesh suit, long as we wrapped up in flesh, flesh is going to require the things of the flesh. That's why there's a warfare going on, and it's between the spirit and the flesh. But I come to tell you tonight, sometime the flesh win and sometime the spirit wins. But God already knew all of that. So Jesus died and he took care of our sins, past, present, and future. But the consequences for those sins belong to you. I just wanted to let you know that. You see, this lesson is teaching us about forgiveness and being judgmental to others. Many times other sins or shortcomings are seen by us or brought to our attention by others. Don't you get the phone call from the members in the church and tell you what's down again? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Many sins that are brought to light is the easiest one for us to judge. Y'all know how they pick out sins and want to say big sins, little sins. But sin is sin. But what about the ones that we have in secret? Ah. We often say so casually, we need to pray for that person. You know, whatever they're going on in this life, and it might be obviously a, as they say, the big sin. And we don't just judge or condemn. You know, we'll say we need to pray for somebody. But rather than praying, we judge, condemn, and go gossip. You see, sin is sin. And we should stop labeling sin more sinful than others. The Bible says we all fall short. Let us start praying for one another in love and give mercy and grace freely towards our brothers and sisters. You see, Jesus not only died for the sins of this woman, but for all who seek his plan of salvation. Even to this day, we can receive complete forgiveness and eternal life because, like this adulterous woman, Jesus' death on the cross fulfilled the law and all the prophets on our behalf. And you could believe it. And you should know it. And we should try to be the best that we can, not because that'll make us be saved, but because what the Savior has done for us, we should want to please our Heavenly Father, our Savior, our Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit living inside of you. And whatever you do, you bring the Holy Spirit with you. And he's never left your side. But we want to do better, but not to be saved, but because we are saved. We were designed for good work. Good work don't count before salvation. It comes after salvation because of the salvation and the grace and the mercy God has given us. We should want to work. And if we all just sweep around our own front door, could you imagine how beautiful the world would be? If we just sweep around our own front door and stop always trying to sweep around someone's else. And that's our lesson for today. Glory, hallelujah, be to God. Any questions? Any comments? Anybody would like to say anything? At this time, you can. All you have to do is press the one button on your phone, and I'll open a mic. Caller, your number is 504-240-9949. Your mic is open, darling. Think if your mute button is on, we can't hear you.
Oh, I thought I had cleared. Now you hear me? Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, we got you now, baby.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, when you say sin is sin, there is no little sin, no big sin, medium-sized sin. Sin is just sin.
Yes, ma'am.
And I like that. Mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am.
That's all I wanted to share.
Yes, ma'am. See, people begin to put sins in categories. And it is taught in the Catholic religion, in catechism, you know, about the level of sins committed and omitted and different things like this. But the Bible teaches us that sin is sin.
Right.
And then if they're going to be in category, then that's going to make people judge more. They're already judging. Because all of your sins is bigger than theirs. You know that, huh?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. So sin is sin.
Yes.
And Jesus took care of them all.
Yes.
And I don't mean the worst sin you could think of, Jesus. The Bible says that there's only one sin that cannot be forgiven. And that sin is the blaspheme of the Holy Ghost. Now, you could have blasphemed the Holy Ghost and grieved the Holy Ghost, but this particular aspect of the Word of God, blaspheme of the Holy Ghost, you got to remember, I'm going to give you a little quick picture. God desires that everyone be saved. So God is constantly doing things that, you know, help us get saved. He sent His Son. He let His Spirit live inside of us. So God gives the summons. God know everybody that's going to be saved. Y'all know that because He's sovereign. He knows everything before the foundation of the world. He don't make nobody be saved, but He knew by knowing the beginning all the way to the end who would accept Him. So God give a summons to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit come, and He gives an invitation. So, you know, like when you're in the church, they say to open up the doors, the invitation to accept Christ. So, and then you might meet somebody on the street, or you hear the preacher on the radio, or you see the preacher on the TV. And, you know, they always say, whosoever will, let him come. And they also say, if you want to give your life to Jesus at this time, and they say all of these things. Now, you can continue to ignore the invitation. Now watch how simple this is. So if you blaspheme the Holy Ghost, don't receive the invitation, never accept Christ as your Savior, when you die, you gotta go to hell because you don't have a Savior. If Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world and you never accept the Savior, then you're not His. So you can't be saved by Jesus Christ because you never accept Him. And that's really simple, y'all. And that's the blaspheme of the Holy Spirit. And that's the only sin that can't be forgiven, because you can't be forgiven because you got to accept Christ first of all when the blood is running warm in your veins. So if you die without accepting Christ, then you have no Savior. You can't save yourself. So you have no choice but to die and go to hell. So if there's anybody on the line that has received many invitations, throughout their life to accept Christ as their Savior, and they never did it. Well, I want you to know that this is an offer and a time. You could do it right now. Jesus Christ is for everybody. And he wants everybody, all sorts of men, to be saved.
Yes.
So if you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, you could do it at this time. Jesus is always waiting for the lost with open arms. But I just had to throw that in. So don't let them think, oh, because you, even suicide. You know, we was taught all these years that if you commit suicide, you can't be saved because you took your life. Let me tell you one thing. First of all, nobody can take their life. I guarantee you they have more suicides attempts than actual suicides. Now listen to me good. First of all, if God ain't ready for you to die and you cut your wrist and you bleed, you ain't going to die because you would be taking control away from God. And yet there will be some people that take their own life and God allows it. But he do it for a reason. But if they was really saved and just was overwhelmed, God, like I told you early in the judgment, he could see their heart. He could see their attitude. He know their actions. Come on, y'all. But the scripture said the only sin that can't be forgiven is blaspheme against the Holy Ghost by never accepting his invitation to receive Christ as your Savior. So if you don't have a Savior, you can't be saved by what Jesus offered. Y'all agree?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Thank you, my sister.
You're welcome.
Is it anything else you want to ask?
No, ma'am. That's it. I just want you to know I agree, and I'm glad you really emphasize on that a lot. It's important.
That's what the Word of God and teaches us for. It don't make no sense for me to get here and then cut everything short and keep you cut y'all short. Calling your number is 504-908-12. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Sister Diane. I really enjoyed this lesson tonight, but you just said something that I've been saying and thinking about and wondering about when you said that when you commit suicide, that's not what I want to say. I've always heard people say, they were so bad and they was doing so wrong that they rushed their death is what I'm trying to say. They rushed their death. I always felt like if they rushed their death, then that means God can have no power over death. I believe when you die, it's because that's what God ordained for you to do at that time. So it's no such thing as this person rushed their death and they were doing wrong, so they you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to say it, but not getting like I want to come out of. But you just made me clarify something that no one can rush their death because when they die, that's the time they're supposed to go. God had put on this earth for them to leave. And it's nothing they did to – I mean, I'm going to say it's nothing they did, but I'm trying to say something. It's in my head. I can't explain it like I'm trying to
– I know what you're trying to say. You're saying many times people say that people, because of their action, they rush their death. And they say that all the time. But as you say it, as I say, if they could rush their death, then where would be Jesus?
Yes,
where would God be?
And then
if that was the case, then everybody and plenty of people all do the same bad thing. You got what I'm saying? So would that be that everybody do all of those bad things, had to rush their death too? You see what I'm saying? Look like they would be dead too because they rushed their death. Now you got to remember, you could be doing a bunch of bad things tomorrow and you have repentance the next day. Right?
Yes.
So even though you're doing bad things, that don't mean you have to stay that way. And that don't mean that it will stay that way. And we don't know. But God's the only one that knows. That's why they say he's the only righteous judge.
Yes, that's what I was trying to get.
And then she said with suicide, she took her life. No, God allowed it, believe me. Because that's why they got so many suicide attempts. God said no.
Yes, that's what I was trying to get out. Thank you, Sister Diane.
Thank you, baby. And yes, there are many suicides. And yes, God did allow it. And if they save, they will see Jesus face to face. Committing suicide don't put you in hell if you're saved. But they told us that for years and years and years and years and years. That's why we have to read the word of God for ourselves. Thank you so much, Sister Rosemary.
Amen.
Caller, your number is 25012. Your mic is open.
Amen. I thank the Lord for the lessons. And I thank the Lord that you clarify that, because, like you say, so many people feel that, but it's still that we judging. And he told us to judge ye not, just like you clarified that. We are not to judge. We don't know what then happened in that hour, just like the thief on the cross. If it wasn't written, you wouldn't have known that he said, this day you're going to be with me in paradise. It's God's control. It's God's control, not man's control. And the thing is that we get always getting that seat of judgment. And you can't judge nobody, because just like he said in the word, he who without what sin cast the first stone. And
come on,
we
now.
All rolled away. All rolled away. You know, and if we say that we are so perfect, I just thank God, you know, for the lesson, because you know sometimes people don't even want to touch on that. They're afraid to touch on that because of their sins. Knowing that they have done wrong, they don't want to hear that. But this is the word of God, and Jesus getting us ready for that great day. We're living in perilous time.
Right.
Look what's going on now. Look at the weather. You can't say nothing. Look what done happened at the White House. We're living in perilous time, and you are teaching the word of God. I just thank God for you. Been missing it, and then I've been hitting and missing, but I thank God for it tonight, and I thank God for the word, because I know I'm so glad that he washed my sins away, because I was a wretch undone. My name is Little Joseph Marie Tompkins, and I know I was in church all my life, but I wasn't saved.
Come on now.
Wasn't saved.
And then,
but you listen that the people in the church sometimes could put you out. If you listen to them about them saying, oh, you sin, you done did this, you done did that, you get, he forgive us. That's why he went to the cross. I'm so glad he took my sins away. You know that song say, I'm so glad he took my sins away. He took my sins away. And if you doubt him, listen to the word what she gave us today. She gave it to us straight. And I say, amen, thank God for you.
Thank you so much, little Josie Tompkins. Josie and myself went to school from junior high and senior high. I think some elementary. I don't remember. Somewhere.
No.
But I thank you, my sisters, for calling in. And it's a very important point you made, because the lady before was saying how some people think a person is so bad they could rush their debt. Now, that man was on the cross, and he was a thief. So I'm sure he lived a kind of, to get on the cross, y'all, he was a rugged little man. And I'm sure people had counted him out. And I'm sure some people say if he'd have rushed his life. Come on, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
But when he met Jesus. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And he told Jesus, when you get in your kingdom, remember me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said, I'm going to give it to you better than that. Today, you're going to be with me in paradise.
Yes,
come
indeed.
On, y'all.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Come on, y'all.
That was late in
God
the midnight
God is always
hour.
Waiting for us to open arms.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, they threw him away. They didn't even put him on a cross. Mm. Oh, but when he met Jesus, he received eternal life.
Yes.
And that's the same thing for all of us.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you so much for your comments. Anyone else? Well, if that's it for tonight, we're going to have our benediction, and y'all know my favorite benediction. 2 Peter 3:18. Peter was asking us to do this. And Peter was rough, y'all, coming up when he met Jesus. And he ain't changed as fast as I'm sure he, some people thought he should have. But he kept on going. And then this is the last writing of Peter 3:18. Because you see, after Peter wrote the book in the Bible, the epistle of Peter, Peter was crucified. Now, you see, when Peter started out, he was rough, rambunctious. You know, he had ill will. He cussed. He was always sweeping around somebody's back door before he swept around his. Ha-ha. You know, Peter was all that in a bag of chips. But you see, by being with Jesus, his life had changed. And at the time when he wrote 2 Peter 3:18, he was leaving, this is last writing, and he left this for us, y'all. So I know there's power in this word, in this verse. But you see, when Peter, they was getting ready to crucify Peter. Peter had grew so much in grace and in the knowledge of God, our Lord, Savior, Jesus Christ, that he reverenced Jesus so much. And they got ready to hang him. He said, turn me upside down because I don't feel like I'm worthy to hang on a cross like Jesus did. Come on, y'all. And what I tell you tonight, our benediction is this, because it's my desire that each and every one of us grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, now and forevermore. And I'm going to leave you with that, my sister and brothers, if there are any. But I want to tell you this. I want to tell you that I am not perfect. But through the grace of God, I have become faithful. And that's what I hold on to. And that's our lesson for tonight. God be with you guys. Until we meet again, and if it's God's will and your desire, we'll meet back next Wednesday at the same hour. Everybody be blessed. Good night.